Hi, I'm Claire Davis from Mental Health Chats, and we're here to encourage people to open up conversations about mental health. Hello, everyone. I'm Claire Davis, and I'm back with Mental Health Chats, and we've got Benny back. Hello, Benny. How are you going?
Hi, Claire. Yeah, I'm well. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And it's been a very, very interesting series on story of suicide. And I was speaking to Cara last year, and I was talking about how could I include Cara to be one of our guests. We had already done the series of suicide, and she mentioned about suicide survivors. So that is either people who have tried to take their own life or people who have had people close to them who have taken their own life, and how they felt afterwards. And yeah. The reason why we've done it at this time of year, Cara said it would be good to do it in spring, is because it's spring in the Northern Hemisphere, and spring is known to be the time of year where there are more suicides. And that really surprised me, Benny.
It surprised me too, Claire.
Yeah. And then when I asked Cara, she said it's because a lot of the time our moods are lower during winter, and then in spring our moods pick up and people have the confidence to take their own life. And that's the interesting thing. It reflects on Tony Phipps's interview back in the last series, because Tony Phipps mentioned that with spotting the signs, often we're quite, why didn't I spot the signs? But it's difficult because people's moods often get better before they take their own lives, and they have the confidence to do it. So that's really quite interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, because most people would think when it's, you know, short days, dark, cold, it'd be a pretty dismal sort of atmosphere, and that'd be conducive to doing something bad and being depressed and all the rest of it. But
yeah,
I can't find it here in my notes, but there was a good line in it was either in the chats or in the notes, where it was about these issues tend to hibernate in winter, and then they emerge in spring.
Yeah, that was from a link that I'm going to put in down the bottom, an article about suicide increasing in the spring. And the other reason why I was quite passionate about doing this series is because last time Benny and I mentioned in the stats and facts section that 135 people on average are affected by somebody taking their life by suicide. And Cara mentioned that as well. So Benny, do you want to elaborate on that at all?
Yeah, well, I think it's pretty straightforward, Claire. People, when they take their lives, they feel alone. I think quite often they think, well, everyone's going to be better off when I'm gone. This is one of the common themes with people that take their lives, but it's anything but the truth. There are a huge number of people that are affected by suicide, the immediate family, friends, work colleagues, people who attend the scenes, emergency services people, police, ambulance, all those. And that's the figure that they quote, is around about 135 people impacted by a single suicide. So it's much bigger than anyone would imagine.
Yeah, and it's very interesting. One of the stats from the World Health Organization that we found, and what we're going to put all these links in for you, is that there are over 800,000 people a year who die to suicide around the world. Now, I actually think it's more, and we've mentioned this before, because not every suicide is recorded as a suicide due to religious beliefs, family stigma.
Cultural.
So the other thing that Benny and I are going to discuss in detail, and this comes from Shiggy's talk and the stigma around the method of suicide. And I was quite taken aback, actually, when Shiggy said and started her talk on, if I tell people my mother has died, it's a very different impact to my mother's completed suicide, which is even more of a different impact to my mother shot herself.
Yeah.
And the method is so varied depending, and a lot of it depends on the country as well and the culture. So, Benny, do you want to go yeah. through what we've found, and we'll put the link of this in as well about the
method? Yeah, sure. Yeah. It's a really interesting World Health Organization report. And so the report says that hanging is the most common method of suicide globally. And but it's when nothing else is available, mainly. And it's 90% in men and 80% in women in Europe hanging.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but as you would expect, in the United States, firearms is the leading method over there. And then they go through jumping from heights, and this is particularly prevalent in urban areas.
Yeah.
So where people, lots of buildings and housing, high rises, things like that, people just jump out of their apartments. And but then it says Asian and Latin American countries, pesticides,
yeah.
which I had never really thought of.
Either at all.
So a lot of developing countries in particular, you know, they're very agriculturally based. They use pesticides. Low-paid workers, lots of poverty, and so pesticides come in into those societies. And you know, you've noted it before, Claire. Men tend to use violent methods; women don't.
Yeah.
Women will overdose and just you know quietly go off to sleep and not wake up, and men will shoot themselves.
Yeah. And we mentioned last time that's why a lot of women, when they attempt suicide, it's not, they don't always die of suicide. You know, they recover because they're not as violent. And it sort of makes you wonder, apparently the statistics are higher for men than women, but it makes you wonder, are there just as many attempts? And I think we found out last time that there were probably just as many attempts for men as women.
Yeah, well, there's some really crazy stats on that, like when you start looking at the ambulance stats, on average in Australia, 82 attendances to men who had either tried to take their own lives or were seriously thinking of doing so. This is per day.
Yeah.
And the take home from that was that you know, you could triple the rate if you took into account the ones that aren't officially recorded as suicide that come through hospitals. Yeah.
And I'd like to mention drugs, because I found the drugs one quite interesting, that poisoning with drugs was most common in women from Canada, the Nordic countries, and the United Kingdom. So what sort of, you know, you mentioned an overdose, but does that include, you know, other drugs other than prescribed drugs? Does that include illegal drugs? Did you manage to find out a little bit more about that, Benny?
I'm not sure, Claire, but I know that definitely illicit drugs and also alcohol contribute greatly to the rates of suicide and attempted suicide.
Yeah, definitely.
I can't recall about that. You may recall that, but certainly in terms of prevention, if you can remove, well, this is one of the findings in that her report. If you can reduce firearm availability and pesticide availability, they're actually major prevention strategies.
Yeah.
So, and the same applies to alcohol and other drugs that lead people making bad decisions.
And Dylan mentioned alcohol. That was his first. He's not sure if it was an attempt, because he was not in a great state, and he was so drunk he doesn't remember if he attempted suicide or didn't. And it's quite interesting. He was so open, and I really respect that of him, because he is helping other people. And his mental mates in Catherine is a fantastic organisation. So well done to that. But I also want to mention Dylan and Jess again, because I found this really interesting, the differences in both of them. And this reflects Declan McGann's talk from interview from the first series, the difference in their recovery. Dylan took a long time to recover, but now he's in a place where he's happy he's still here. Whereas Jess was so open that she, it depends on the day. Some days she's happy she's here, some days she's not. So that goes with passive suicide ideation and active suicide ideation. So what we need to understand is if anyone's attempted suicide and is still here, so how are they feeling? Are they in a passive mode, an active mode, or are they at Dylan's stage where they're just so, they feel so blessed that they're still here and he's on a really good road to recovery? So that support is so, so important for people for many years. It's not just, you know, the first few months after they've attempted, for many years, because they can be up and down. So did you take anything away from that then?
Well, just on that, you know, people who have attempted suicide previously are in the high risk group of doing it again. And so it's really important that if you know anyone who's in that category, well then to be extra alert and, you know, really keep an eye on those people and provide support. Yeah, Dylan's, you know, he's an ex-Albies guy. I thought the chat that you had with him was great. You know, I'm grateful I'm still here theme. And but I thought something that really, really came home to me was that he tried to raise, he tried to tell people. I think he'd reached out. He said he'd tried to talk to people, and the response from that peer group, which we all remember from college, just have another beer, mate, and it'll be, you'll feel better in the morning.
You're a bit sad. He kept saying, people would say, even medics said, oh, you're just a bit sad.
And definitely. And that was so wrong. And everyone just kept saying to him, you're just a bit sad, mate, and you'll get over it. You'll feel better in a few days. So, he was lucky that I think his girlfriend picked up on what was going on and came round, or a friend came round just in time. And but he's back on track. But I think it's a great chat to listen to, and probably the first one that I've heard someone that has actually talked through how they were, their state of mind, what had led up to that, what they did at the time, and then subsequently, you know, how they sort of recovered from it. And that he's got a 6-month-old son now, so it's a very interesting story to listen to, and very, very compelling.
And I think what has opened up my eyes from that one is how fantastic it is now that people are opening up conversations and people are talking about this. Because, you know, when we were at college, you'll remember, Benny, there was a fellow that, you know, we think took his own life. It wasn't recorded that it was suicide, but, you know, we didn't know what to say. We didn't know what to do, and nobody would have ever suspected it. And we didn't know how to support each other. Now it's lovely that 30 years later, people are equipped now and people can find help to help each other. So it's so much more open than just, oh, he was a bit sad or wasn't coping or whatever, you know, may have been the excuse 30 years ago. So I was quite refreshed by that chat.
Yeah.
That things have changed, even he said, since 2005, since his first, what he thinks was an attempt, things have changed in the medical field as well, which is great.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the things that comes, it's in that WHO report, the first one that you put up, it's suicide is preventable. And I think a lot of people sort of forget that fact, that it's preventable. And if you can get in and pick the signs early, identification, early intervention, you can prevent people from completing suicide or attempting it. And that's just so important. And I think we've got, as you say, in our day at college, didn't have great awareness or knowledge or understanding, and now there's much better of all that, and we're in a better place.
Yeah, which is great. So that's a nice note to end on, I think. Thank you, Benny. And our next series is on body image. And our first guest is a lady called Elizabeth Hall from the US. And she's going to open up the topic of body image and how it's affected her in her life. And we're going to, this is a really, really interesting one as well, because it affects so many people with the media and et cetera. So yeah. I'm looking forward to this one as well. So thank you very much, Benny, for your input.
No problem, Claire. Good to catch up again.
Okay. Take care. We hope you enjoyed the chat. If you found any of the tips useful, follow Mental Health Chats. Thank you.